And we'll just cover one. I thought about covering two, but that gets us into that hour, and I don't want to quite be there for a Sunday afternoon. Now, what's happening, my schedule, I've picked up another meeting or two, and I've got one potentially at my call as soon as I can hold it up in Dayton, Ohio, for Brother Cliff. And I'm up there every year a couple times. So, and then I've got one in Rushville. That's already scheduled. And so I'll get busy with the spring meetings. And I wanted to try to take this. This is March. We need to get through April. And by the last of May, try to be done. And that first meeting comes the 17th or 18th of May. And I'll be out that Sunday. But by the end of May, I want to be done maybe with the Institute for a while and give everybody a break. And then we'll regroup, and Pastor and Jeremiah and myself will rethink our approach. And we'll start back up again when school starts. Going to give everybody kind of a break. And then I'll, through the summer months, if I get to travel a little, you know, as the older I get, the less I travel. Amen. And the less Bonnie says I'm traveling. So, but that's kind of the plan, so you know how I'm thinking. But we're in the mysteries tonight, and but we'll plug away each time I'm in. And we have ample teachers. Pastor can teach at the drop of a hat. Jeremiah can teach at the drop of a hat. And Jeremiah has earned his master's. And are you working on anything else yet, or no?
He says it's all.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, good school down there, just good school. It takes dedication and a lot of work. So and all his stuff is on CD, and just like we're doing here, we're setting this thing up. So one day, hopefully these classes could be edited down and used. But we're on the mysteries, and last week I wasn't in, so we didn't do one. 3 weeks ago, we talked about God manifest in the flesh, 1 Timothy chapter 3. The second one we covered was Christ in you, Colossians 1:27. And the third one that we'll cover tonight is Christ and the church, Ephesians chapter 5. And if you have a scripture there, Ephesians 5, I've written most of them down, so we'll try to look at that. Ephesians 5:32, and I'm going to be in Ephesians 5 just for a few minutes. But in verse 32, he says, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." And so it's one of the mysteries that's in the Pauline epistles, and we'll be covering it. It'll be one of the seven major mysteries. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the preaching tonight. Thank you for the preaching this morning. Thank you for everything that was done. Bless each heart now as we try to finish out the evening with a few passages here on some of the things that we find in the Word of God. It's in Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen. So mysteries are the teachings. Christ and the church is how I'll title this one. And as you read that verse, if you back up there in Ephesians chapter 5, and under point number 1, I've also included them. As it's easy to copy and paste that stuff and then highlight it. So people say, oh, it's not that tough. This is where he is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride. And he says this is a mystery, so we want to kind of expose what exactly is the mystery here. And I think as we get into it, you'll see it's kind of unexplainable. That's why it's a mystery. And so our job is to believe it, and we don't have the terms or the wherewithal to believe it until we're saved by the grace of God. And believe me, when you first get saved, you don't understand what a mystery is. Man, I got saved when I was 12 years old. I couldn't have found Matthew in the Bible. I didn't know anything. I was a kid. That's why he calls us babes in Christ. But then you learn, and then you apply and read and study and hear preaching and teaching, and whereby then you learn some of these things. But he said, this is where the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride in Ephesians 5:29, back up there just a little bit, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh. The Lord uses the analogy of the great metaphor of the marriage between a man and a wife as a picture of what's going on. He says, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church, verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. plural, and verse 31, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now, somewhere in the syllabus I've included it, but people say, well, is this a new thing? It's not really a new thing. It's a mystery. But the what he's using here, the relationship between the man and the wife, or the husband and the wife, is the same thing between Christ and the church. And people say, well, that's a new thing. It's a New Testament thing. It never showed up before. No, it did show up. This is a used thing. It shows up first in Genesis chapter 2, about verse 24. And that scripture over there, I included it somewhere here, maybe in the last, very, very last thing I said. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Figure that thing out. It started there. I mean, if your wife is here tonight, my wife is here, and I walk out and go get the car, and she's still in here. She's here, and I'm over there, but he says we're one. You say, well, how's that work? You can't explain it. It's a mystery, but we're one. So that's kind of the stepping stones here. Secondly, let me say, he says, if a person is saved, born again, in our age, our dispensation, he's in Christ's body. And a man's body is his wife, if they're one. Follow what I'm saying? Then the saved people who make up the body of Christ are spoken of as a wife and the bride of his flesh and bones, as we read in verse 30. And then in 1 Corinthians 6:16, get this stuck into your computer bank. For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. And he even breaks it down further than that. He breaks it down with a man with a harlot. If they become one flesh, it's not a marriage, but it's a picture of a relationship that God set aside only for a man and a wife. And that relationship is when they become one flesh is a picture of Christ and the church, or Christ and his wife, which is the church and referred to as the bride of Christ. Now, why it's a mystery, and I may have it here before I said it is a mystery, because you're going to find out in a couple verses here that in one place he calls her his wife, and another place he calls her a chaste virgin. And she's not, she's a spouse, but she's not become his bride yet. But in all essence, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3, and then 6, 7, and 8, we may read that. It's not in the syllabus. Ye are seated together in heavenly places already. You say, what is that? That's you in Christ, and Christ in you, and his body is the church. And you're said, it's said that you're there. You couldn't explain it if you stayed up all night. Explain it if you had to. So he says here in 1 Corinthians 6:16, for two saith he shall be one flesh. We get that, but that's a physical thing, and we're talking a spiritual thing, and he uses the physical to prove the spiritual. So how do you explain that? Well, how could you be one flesh? We understand the physical terms. You can't explain it. That's why it's a mystery. You can believe it, but you can't explain it. Now, a lost person can't believe it. Now, you guys are crazy. Yeah, it's foolishness to them. And that's what they say. And the scriptures teach us that, much learning hath made thee mad, and they don't understand it, so they can't get it. And another thing, look at point number three, what Paul says about the bride of Christ in this age. And that's important because you have the ages and the dispensations. So you got to be careful here. And I think the word age is used. He said the bride of Christ in this age is a chaste virgin. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. I've included the verse for you. For I am jealous over you. This is Paul talking about the church. With godly jealousy, for I have espoused you. When you win somebody to Christ, they become a part of the body of Christ, which is the wife of Christ, which is the bride to become the wife, but is said to be the wife already. So, man, that's confusing. That's an oxymoron. No, it's a mystery. That's why it's called a mystery, and we should explore it so we know something about this mystery. So watch. For I have espoused you to one husband, that husband be Christ, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. And so here he uses the term chaste virgin to Christ. Then she's not married. She's chaste, you understand? Flesh has not joined flesh, so to speak, in a physical sense. No marriage has taken place, or it's never been consummated. She's engaged, she's a virgin, but in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30, where we was, he says, you're of one flesh and of his bones, and you're his wife. Now, wait a minute. You say, well, the Bible just contradicted itself. No, it didn't. That's why he calls that thing a mystery. You just have to wrap your belief around it. Say, well, how can God do that thing? Take your Bible and come to Ephesians. This is not in your syllabus, Ephesians chapter 2. And he says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. That's anybody that was lost. Now you're saved. You're quickened. That means to be made alive. Where in times past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now there's your key, the spirit, be careful, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So there's an evil spirit. You were a child of the devil. And then there's the Holy Spirit, among whom also, and then there's your spirit, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. In other words, everybody was lost in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, because all are under condemnation. Born into this world, the only exception to that, somebody that doesn't understand, doesn't come to the knowledge of good and evil, or we would say the age of accountability. That'd be your exception. Other than that, everybody's under a curse. You're already headed to hell. You're under condemnation. So here he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, now what happened to you when you got saved, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So when you get saved, you're sitting over there. You say, brother fellow, I'm here. That's the same kind of thing going on with the church and Christ and the body and the virgin in one place and the wife in another place and the espousal in another place. Say, it's not a contradiction. It's a mystery. It's as good as done. When God does something, even if it hasn't happened totally yet, he says it's happened totally yet, and you're seated together in heavenly places, it's a done deal. And boy, that just throws the world a curveball. They can't get that thing. And then folks in the church say, oh, that's a mystery to me. I don't know. But we're supposed to know of the mysteries, at least know something about them. Watch, that if in the, here's that word, in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works that any man should boast. Let me show you something else. You may be sitting here in the body, and your spirit is here, and the Holy Spirit is knit with your spirit, but that spirit is omnipresent and can be any place at any time, and with that godly ability, he can seat you in heavenly places, and he is the mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. He's your representative, and if he's speaking, and you're called a son of God, you're there. Say, man, that gets deep. Take your Bible, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Let me show you something else. It's not, I didn't write this. I'm ad-libbing tonight, man. Watch out. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Watch this. When you get saved, the Spirit does some working. And he's doing some working. And the only conclusion to this thing to even get close to understanding it is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God. He can work here, he can work there, he can work in you, he can complete a work that, and you're complete in Christ Jesus other than the fact of a new body. Now be careful, watch. For as the body is one, And he's talking about the physical body, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So the body of Christ, he's using an analogy here. Your physical body, my physical body, is like the body of Christ, made up of many members. But watch now the work of the Spirit in this thing, and that's the also in Christ. For by one Spirit, that be the Holy Spirit, are we all baptized into one body. Boy, people just stress out over that thing, and they... People that don't believe the KJV, they think it's a misprint, misspelling. Said the Spirit never puts you in any place, never put, and they see water when you say baptize. But Pastor Tom was teaching us some lessons. I pulled them up on YouTube the other day and was looking at them on our site, and he's preaching on, teaching on seven baptisms. And one of those baptisms, just like the seven mysteries, those baptisms, one of them's water, one of them's fire, one of them's death. So you got to be careful. What's he talking about here? He's talking about placing you or immersing you spiritually into the body of Christ. You say, well, I'm sitting here. I'm not in the body of Christ. Spiritually, you are. Now, all that, I've said all that. Well, let me finish the thought. He says, whether we be bond or free and have been all made to drink into one Spirit, for the body is not one member but many. And so he goes on there, but it's the Spirit that does a work in us that we can't hardly put our finite mind around. And Paul puts that thing with the church in Christ in under the category of the mysteries. And it is a mystery. It's hard to understand. So you just sometimes can't explain it. And when Paul's saying he's jealous over you and he's so on and so forth, it's hard to understand. Look at number four. As far as spirits are concerned, we talk about that. I may have given you some of this. I'm joined to him right now. And if you're saved, you're joined to him right now. And you remember our little chart, and they got me a good pen up here. Those grandkids are taking care of me here. And, you know, you got that thing, and you got that flesh, that outside layer that we see, that flesh. And then you've got that soul in there that every man has. And then you've got the spirit of man. I'll just draw him orange too. That doesn't mean I'm a volunteer tonight, all right? And you got this guy right here. And that's you. And your soul, the flesh is carnal, made of the earth and dust, and has to, it cannot step into the presence of God because Adam and Eve fell in the garden, and they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and that flesh has to die. And no man anywhere inhabiting flesh ever live forever, because the wages of sin is death. And so there's a part of folks, these two parts right here, that will live someplace somewhere throughout all eternity. And when you get saved, and that's a person, the trichotomy, that's a person. And when you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God, he does the saving. And when he comes in, and he comes in here, and he's going to work with your spirit, and he's going to separate you from the body of the sins of this flesh and knit himself to you, you say, what is that? Well, now with that, that's what happens when a person gets saved. Now you've got a spirit involved, the Holy Spirit of God knit to your spirit, making you, that's what Adam lost in the garden. It's what Eve lost in the garden, the Spirit of God. And no man has had it since. That's why he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. It's a new birth. So when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in. Now supernatural things start happening to you at the very moment you get saved. You get placed, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 or 13, into the body of Christ. Now that body is said to be the church, that body is said to be the wife, that body is said to be the chaste virgin, as we've read these other verses. You're a spouse to Christ. You're as good as his bride tonight. I mean, you're there. You're his wife tonight. And that thing will be consummated spiritually over there at the marriage supper of the Lamb. See, man, I can't get my mind wrapped around that thing. There's a lot going on when a person gets saved. And a 6-year-old kid or a 12-year-old kid don't get it all. That's why he gave some pastors and some teachers and some evangelists for the perfecting of the saints. We've got to stay in the book, man, and stay with it. So here, when the Spirit's concerned, we're joined him right now. And how do we get that? But he that is joined of the Lord is one spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17, as we quoted earlier. So the marriage has already taken place as far as the Spirit goes, but not as far as our stepping out of this world into the next. But the marriage, you say, I can't understand that. That's why it's a mystery. When God says it, that settles it. It's done. When you pray, we prayed tonight. When you pray, guess what? You just entered into the Holy of Holies. You entered into the throne. Take your Bible and go to Hebrews chapter 4. Pastor's over there in Hebrews tonight. I didn't write this in the syllabus either, but come to my mind quickly. And look at verse 16, but back up. Seeing Hebrews 4:14, I think, yeah. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed unto the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our fingers, tipped at all points like as we yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When you prayed, you realized you may be sitting here, but you just entered into the Holy of Holies. Say, there's something spiritual going on. And that's what the carnal mind I don't mean this bad, but baby Christians can't grasp it. They can't get a hold of it. They could, because the same Spirit in them, the same Holy Spirit in them that teaches everybody else, will definitely teach them. And by the way, the Holy Spirit never makes a mistake when he starts showing you these things. So when the Spirit's concerned, we can step into the Holy of Holies, so we can understand here that if he says we're spouse to Christ, if we're a chaste virgin, we got it on one hand, and we're not going to fornicate with any other spiritually. So you can see where once you get saved, you need to keep yourself from the accursed things of the world, if you please. And I speak in spiritual matters. Put your Ouija board away. I know you don't have Ouija board. Your tarot cards. Quit going to the soothsayer. Quit picking up that book at the checkout lane, your horoscope and all that stuff. Say, that's that spiritual fornication dabbling into the dark side. They've got the dark web now, you know, you hear about that. Well, so here, back under point 4, and he says, or I've got written here, my catch up where I was. So the marriage has already taken place as far as the Spirit goes, but the marriage hasn't taken place so far as the body goes, because my physical body is down here and his is up there. But spiritually, I'm seated together in heavenly places. Spiritually, I can march into the throne room boldly and pray. In 2 Corinthians 5:6-8, Paul said, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, that's here, we are absent from the Lord, not in his presence per se there, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That was Paul's desire. He had probably the best understanding of it and rights of it in the New Testament. And so you have a double thing going on. It's a mystery. You have a bride that's a virgin in one sense, and a married woman in another sense. You say, explain that. You can't explain it. You say, what? It's a mystery. But you can believe it. Now look, if I could explain everything God does and everything he does, he wouldn't be much of a God. And I'm glad I can't explain it tonight. Because he's God, and I'm going to trust him with it. Amen? I'm going to trust him with it. Look at point 5. Union of a man and a woman in marriage is a mystery because it conceals, as in a parable, a truth about Christ and the church. And that's true. The divine reality or reality hidden in the metaphor of marriage is that God ordained a permanent union between his son and the church. And by the way, before the foundation of the world, human marriage is the earthly image of this divine plan. And how wise of God, the Holy Spirit, to put it in these kinds of terms. As God willed for Christ and the church to become one body, Galatians 3:28 says this, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. He said, we're not all one in Christ Jesus. Well, as far as the Spirit's concerned, yeah. Yeah. And yet, in the same token, he called men to preach and not women. And there'll be people that say, well, I think a woman can preach anytime she wants to. Just give her the pulpit. She'll show you a thing. I said, okay. And they'll use that verse right there and try to tell you that there's no difference. That's in the spiritual sense, friend, not in this body of clay down here. And you're locked in down here for a while. And I understand it. I understand it. But it sure throws some folks a curveball. So here, and then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, which we read, I won't give that to you again. So he willed for marriage to reflect this pattern that the husband and the wife become one flesh, and that's taken from the beginning in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, where therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now, that's some light, very little, on the mystery of Christ and the church. I'm going to ask for some help. Jeremiah, you got anything on this?
No, other than I'm reading my reference here.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
What you basically have here is like Joseph and Mary.
Yeah.
You know, who Mary was a spouse.
A spouse, yeah, that's good. That's your... That's
it says the exact same thing. It's a mystery. That's
okay. Now, I am not a John Piper guy. You understand? That last paragraph I gave you, I should have put it in there if I was going to write this right. But I liked what he said there. And I review all these guys and try to figure out what they're saying. And he was right on the money there. And I thought, well, he's not all on some things, but some things he is. And I'll take what's good and, you know, take the meat and throw away the bone. So, Pastor, do you have any other light that you might have come across? That's right. That's good.
The rib.
Absolutely.
And Brother Phil mentioned that this was ordained, set apart by God before the foundation of the world.
Right.
Even though all the whosoever will were chosen in time.
Sure.
But if the church, as God foresaw, was set apart before the foundation of the world, but the members of that body were chosen in time with all of this.
Yeah, just... It to me, when I study the mysteries, it keynotes to me how great of a God we serve. And we're just getting the tip of the iceberg down here. Paul said we see through a glass darkly. We have scales on our eyes. And one of these days, and we have the completed revelation, the Word of God, and yet I cannot extract everything there is to extract out of this book. It's a supernatural book. I just can't get any more. And we rely on, I hate to say this, dead men's brains. And then pray the Holy Spirit give us more light, illumination. And that's all about all I can do. So we'll go through these mysteries. And I'm using some of that little book I had. I don't know what I threw it, where I threw it, or what I did with it. A little PBI thing by Doc Ruckman. And Christ in the Church. I didn't use everything he said because he's got a lot of dialogue in it that I didn't need. And I want this to be personal and not just parrot everything he says, but I used some of the verses and some of the thinking as I checked out some of the others. We want to talk about the restoration of Israel. I'm done this evening here in just a minute, but we'll talk about the restoration of Israel. Pastor made mention of it, and that's one of the mysteries, the blindness of Israel today during the church age. And then as we go through the little pamphlet, and it's a good pamphlet. If you can download it, get it, you'll have what I've got. But now along with it comes some things that you might not need or use. And the mystery Babylon the Great, which definitely is in reference to the church and the last church, especially in the book of Revelations, chapter 17, verse 5, we'll cover that. And then the mystery of iniquity, and Pastor alluded to that this evening when he was going through the mysteries, in verbal. The mystery of iniquity, and that's the coming and the very nearness of the Antichrist and him coming on the scene. And then the rapture, behold, I show you a mystery, we shall not all sleep. And that's the rapture of the church catching away the saint of God, which is number seven. Now, there are more mysteries in the Bible, but we'll try to hold them to the church in the Pauline, give you seven of them. I think if you study them, does your notes have anything? Does it say anything else? He's light? Okay. Yeah, but it's a good study, and I don't want to bog down on any of this stuff. Any questions, anybody, anything at all? It's just something we're supposed to know about, have some kind of knowledge about.
Just kind of what we've studied about, nothing too deep, but a mystery is definitely has layers.
Yeah, layers, absolutely.
And it's just like Pastor just said, they're like in time, but they connect one eternity before
right.
we began time
right.
again until the eternity that we're looking forward to, so it looks prophetically and looks
oh, yeah.
Every mystery does, if you think about
every
it.
Every mystery does.
So it's complicated and it's probably not quite completed yet, but it's revealed, a whole portion of it's revealed. So it's,
yeah, as we talked earlier when we talked about Christ in you, that was a mystery hidden before the people didn't know in the Old Testament. It was revealed unto Paul, and he begins to teach and talk about it in Colossians chapter 1 and Galatians, different places. But, you know, the Old Testament saint, and then people, they get offended. Oh, everybody got saved just, you know, no, they didn't. Everybody's not in the body of Christ. Everybody wasn't baptized in the body of Christ. The Old Testament saints, pastor had it down. He said they got saved, and they went to paradise. Jesus hadn't died yet, so they kind of died on credit, if you please. And then when Jesus goes down, he preaches there to the captives, and then he leads captivity captive out of that place, and those people are already condemned in hell. He didn't empty out the hell side of things. He emptied out the paradise side of things. And then paradise has been moved. And you see in another place, Paul says, I know a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I know not. But he was stoned at Lystra, and he made that saying, and he ascended into the third heaven, and he called it paradise. And they were speaking things he couldn't talk of. You say, what is that? That's the God we serve. Yeah, that's the God we serve. Brother Tom.
The only thing, when Paul got this revelation, and you see him preaching in the synagogues, this was all brand new stuff to the Jews. They didn't have a clue.
Brand new. Right. Right.
Never heard of any of that kind of
stuff. Well, Stephen, in his preaching, and you can follow him, he's preaching to a Jewish congregation. They're very hostile to anyone believing in the only begotten Son of God in any way, shape, or form. And he wasn't necessarily trying to build the church that day. he was telling them, ye are stiff-necked and uncircumcised of heart and ears. Ye do always resist the truth, is what he told them. And of course, they killed him for that. So not a good thing. But that's a reference there to the Lord standing. He saw the Lord standing at the right hand. And he was ready to return. I mean, if they would have repented, he'd have been back. And so it's awesome. So when we study the mysteries, we're not in the milk of the Word of God. We're more into the meat of the Word of God. And it'd be hard to preach on the mysteries on a Sunday morning. You'd have people scratch their head and say, what are they? They're crazy up there. So we'll save that for some of these classes. I've seen you signaling me. I didn't know. Okay. All right, good. Anything else here? And we got through that. We've got a few more to go, and we'll kick it up into high gear. I don't want to keep you too long. Then when we're done, we'll have a little quiz on it, and we'll move on to other things. And so as we talk. Everybody good? Okay. Read your Bible this week. Pray this week. And in the Spirit, You're already there. Amen. Hallelujah. Have a good day. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for your word. Thank you for class and each person that has come. Bless those that couldn't make tonight, those that are sick, and ask God a special way that you'd bless them. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen. All right, have a great week.